Now, Philippians chapter 4, there is a verse. It's not one of the famous verses. There are some famous verses in the chapter. But this verse, number 9, is the text around which I want to build this morning. Verse 9, Philippians chapter number 4. And here's what it says. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, again, I trust that this will build on what we've already heard this morning, and I think it will. You understand, Philippians is a prison epistle. The Apostle Paul is the human penman, and he's writing from a prison cell, very likely a dungeon. Very likely a damp, dirty, perhaps disease-filled place. Very likely vermin of one kind or another. Perhaps mice, rats, whatever, that inhabit places like that where things are not kept well. He's in a place like that. And this is not a garden from which he's writing. This is not a place where flowers are blooming. It's not a place where he's got curb service or maid service. None of that. But he's imprisoned. You say, well, what is a guy of his stature doing in the Hoosgow? Well, he is in the Hoosgow because of his faith and because of his preaching. Because he was a man totally committed to what he found that day on the road to Damascus. And because God had appointed him to be a preacher, a teacher to the Gentiles, a missionary to the Gentiles, etc. And he is very open about that. I mean, he is full throttle everywhere he goes. And so he winds up imprisoned for his faith that he would not renounce, and for his preaching about which he was always bold. Now, if you read through the chapter where we are, chapter 4 of Philippians, in spite of all of this, in spite of the fact that he's been mistreated, in spite of the fact that he has been unjustly accused and accosted, the fact that he has been imprisoned without cause, nonetheless, you read it carefully, and I promise you, there's no hint of discouragement on his part. There is absolutely no whining. No whining. And this man is still totally focused on who he is and what he's about. Now, he's writing to a church, this church at Philippi. And what he gives them is great insight, and it's also very instructive. I mean, their town was like some of our towns. They were there. They were a light shining in a dark place. And they too were getting things along the way, pressures along the way. And so what he says to them in this verse that I'm keying in on this morning, because in the midst of his difficulty, no discouragement is obvious. And he is unrelenting in his care and concern for this church at Philippi and for who they were and for what they were doing. And so he said, I read it again, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, I ask myself the question, when he says, you've learned, you've received, you've heard, you've seen in me, I ask myself the question, what has he learned? Or what have they learned? What did they receive? What did they hear? What have they seen in him? Well, some pretty obvious things. They've learned from his preaching. They received that. They heard that. They've seen that in him, his preaching and his teaching. They've seen him win other people to Christ, all of that. And and his church planting, because everywhere he goes, get enough converts, they start a church. Now, they've seen all of that and probably a lot of other things. Now here we are, down the trail here a ways, and it goes without saying, but it's true, all of us know, times are tough. Times are tough, times are difficult. We cannot look at our society in the shape that it's in today without knowing that we have arrived at a very difficult place in the road. Now, I reference here the statement that was made to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, where he says, "For the time will come." The time will come. He goes on to say, "When they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." And whenever I read that statement, "the time will come," it's an opinion on my part, but I'm going to suggest to you that time is now.
Yes,
I believe we're there. Absolutely. And does that mean that things are not as easy to do? Does that mean that we have opposition we didn't have a while back? All of that, yes. Times are tough, but the game plan is the same. He's in jail, but he's still sounding the right notes. He's in jail, but he's still proclaiming the truth. He's in jail, but he's still nurturing the believers. He's in jail, but he's still got a heart for that church. And so when you and I have difficulties, I mean, everything from people carping at us to maybe people trying to shut us down, I mean, whatever it is that's going on that puts pressure on you wherever that you are. I mean, you may be in a larger city, you may be in a small town, you may be in a village, you may be out in the country, whatever the case, nobody is isolated from what we're into these days. In fact, if you look at 2 Timothy, it's pretty obvious that the society, the description of society, the breakdown of society that's predicted there, it's come. And I believe that a lot of the reason for that is because the church crowd has broken down. You know, when I think about Methodists and Presbyterians and Southern Baptists and even the old American Baptists and others like that, I look at all of them and I would never have agreed on everything the Presbyterians stand for. And I would never have agreed with everything the Methodists stand for. But there was a time not all that long ago when there were people in all of those groups who were breathing fire. I mean, I'm talking about people who were on fire.
Yes, sir.
You may not agree with every point that they made, but I'm telling you. I could run the list here and name you some very famous people. They weren't in our fellowship, but mercy, you got to like a lot about them. But what happened to those groups? Well, the Apostle Paul said about some of the groups in his time, he said, "This knowest thou, that all they which are in Asia are turned away from me." A lot of folks that at one time you could have you know, put some check marks and said, hey, I like it. But now then they've turned away. What did they turn away from? They turned away from the truth. You know, if somebody decides they don't like me because I don't part my hair on the right side, or, you know, whatever reason, they don't like short guys, so they don't like me. You know, I mean, if that happens, I mean, okay, so you don't like little short guys. I got it. But the deal is, it's when they turn away from the truth. I can forgive you for some petty thing. You know, if you say, "short guys, I don't like short guys." That's petty. It's petty. Did I mention it's petty? But if you want to be petty, I can forgive that. But when you turn away from the truth, If I just ignore that, if I say, oh, well, hey, you know, everybody's got their own. If I do that, then I'm headed wrong. These folks, many of them, 100 years ago, we could have saluted a little bit, but now they've turned. And even in the last 20, 25 years, last 10 years, yes. Folks that at one time we might have invited them to this platform, but they've turned away. And the Apostle Paul is saying to them, you know, guys, you know what you learned? You know what you received? You know what you heard? You know what you saw in me? And then, I mean, so yeah, he writes a whole manual. No, he just gives them one word. He says, you got it from me, you received it, you heard it, you saw it in me. He said, do.
Amen. Yeah.
That very thing. Just do it. Do it. Do it. Now, there are some famous verses in this chapter that do provide some further illumination. For example, in verse 1, he says, so stand fast in the Lord. Now, that word fast there does not mean speedy, but it means to be firm. It means to be solid. It means to be standing as you ought to stand. And he says, stand fast in the Lord. Let the Lord determine who we are and what we're about. And if we'll do that, I'm looking for Philippians again. Here it is. And if we'll do that, if we stand fast like we ought to, then we're headed. I mean, we're kept on solid ground. Notice if you drop down to verse 4, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice.
Yes.
So what's he saying? Take a stand. But keep your attitude. Keep your spirit. Stay on track. You know, I'm glad for anybody and everybody that stands true and stands right. But sometimes people can stand right, and if they get some kind of a nasty attitude to go with it, then all at once their testimony is not where it needs to be. And, you know, so keeping that heart of rejoicing, that spirit of rejoicing is tremendously important. And whenever we gather in here, we sing the great songs. And I don't know why in the world people are chasing off after all this weak, broken down music that they have brought on board these days. I mean, singing stuff like we've been singing here this morning and at all of these services. I'm telling you, if you just let it resonate in your heart, I mean, it'll carry you through the day. In fact, you know what I entitled this message is? Taking it and making it. We've already heard this morning. Oh yeah. And I'm just saying, times are tough. Times are tough. We're going to get hit. We're going to get hurt. We're going to get slammed here once in a while. And you say, well, what do I do about that? Take it. Just take it. Take it. Take it. You say, well, I've taken about all I can take. And oh, you can take more, because the Lord's promise, he'll not let anything more than what you can handle come at you. So I'm just saying, take it and then listen to the Lord. And if you'll follow him, even when you're having to take it, you'll make it. And what he says here is, stand fast, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Verse number 6. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That tells me that in the midst of it all, I can talk to God. In the midst of it all, I can lift my voice up and heaven will hear. And he says, keep that spirit of thanksgiving and keep praying. Don't be filled with anxiety. I honestly believe we got a lot of people who think that it's their mission in life to create anxiety. A lot of folks these days, I mean, they're working to intimidate us. Working to intimidate us so that we'll sit down and shut up. Well, you know, that's not in our Christian DNA. We're not there. So what are we going to do? We're not going to let take, I mean, they'll throw anxiety at us and we'll just push it aside. We'll take it and keep on going. And in everything, just keep lifting our voice up to God. And whatever the needs are, let your request be made known unto God. Tell him about it. Tell him about it. You know, I sometimes think that I'm the neediest beggar in the bunch, you know, just saying, Lord, now it'd be good if this would work and that would work and this would go. I mean, I learned a long time ago, little short guys can only do so much. And if I only do what the flesh can do, I limit myself. But if I allow my flesh to get in on what God can do and claim God's power, then we get to do what God can do. And so, then verse 7, another rather famous part of this, he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, listen. In the midst of the battle, you can have peace. In the midst of the war, you can sleep at night. You know? I mean, I know, Brother Fox, you mentioned about some things you've been through lately. You know, I know there are some people, I mean, they must have on their list when they get up in the morning, it says, you know, they've got my name right at the top of the list, and they're saying, give him a headache today. Yeah. You know? And, you know, Betty comes for lunch almost every day, and, you know, I get in the car with her, and she says, how was your morning? I say, hey, you don't want to know. You know, what am I saying? Now, if it's something she needs to know, I'll tell her. But I think about, here's one, two, three somebodies that maybe were trying to give me a headache that morning. Comes lunchtime. You think I'm going to spoil my lunch with that pretty gal by going over all that junk again? No way. No way. Not going to do it. Why? Because whatever effort they were making at anxiety and frustration and intimidation, I said, nope, going to let the peace of God rule in my heart, and I'm going to trust that God. Sometimes I just tell God on people. Say, well, what do you mean by that? Let me take it out of the arena and put it like this. You're driving down the freeway, somebody likes to try to run you off the road. You know, I've prayed prayers like this. Dear God, you see that jerk going there? You say you wouldn't talk to God like, hey, listen, if he's a jerk, God already knows it. And I need to be honest in my praying, amen? Now, the peace of God rule in your heart. I mean, I know times are tough, but we can count on the Lord to see us through and get us through. And verse 8 has another piece of the puzzle when he says, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtuous and praiseworthy, let all those things, think on those things. Think. What you think is what you will do. And what he's saying to us here is, get your thinking onto that which is pure and lovely and just. And if you'll think on those things, I'm telling you, it'll make a whole lot of difference in what you do in your life and in your ministry. And if you're all time just concentrating on, you know, garbage that comes flowing your direction on any given day, I mean, just shut it off as quick as you can and get on with things. Verse 13 has the next piece in the part of the pie, when he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, when it says all things, and that term sometimes in the Bible has to be set in the context where it is. That doesn't mean you can go down to BWI or go over to Pittsburgh and fly an airplane this afternoon. It's not. You say, I can do all things. That doesn't mean you can fly a 737. It's not what it's telling you. But it does mean set in the context of life and ministry and where we are and with whatever headaches are going on, whatever pressure's coming, whatever persecutions are there, it means the Lord is there with us. He will supply for us. He will see us through. And we can count on him, and we are able to do all of the things that we ought to do. Remember what he said? What you received, what you learned, what you heard, what you've seen in me? Do. Now what he's telling us here is, I can do all these things through Christ, because he's the one that provides my strength. And then the last of those famous verses, verse 19, he says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Yes. Now, you know, sometimes I mix up my wants and my needs. Sometimes I tell the Lord what I want and pretend that it's a need. And sometimes the need, the want is not really a need. But the Lord knows how to supply and take care and help us. Now, I look at all of that to say, here's a man who is in prison, but he's not quit. He's being limited in what he can do at the moment, but he's not in any sense of the word defeated. Now, if I may say, I think out and across the land, too many of us have calculated the cost and said, "Nah, not going to pay the price." A lot of our brothers and sisters out across the land have calculated like that, and when they didn't come up with the answer they wanted, they capitulated to whatever pressure was there and totally caved in. And you know, I was in a meeting, recently, and it was recently, where there was a good number of us and a good number of pastors, and it was in an area where that there's a lot of people who go to retire, and I saw some guys there that I know, and I said, they used to live over there, but now they're here. So I said, "When did you move here?" "Well, I retired 2 years ago." Now, don't misunderstand me here. Don't misunderstand me. We have to make adjustments along the way. But sometimes folks that are well of mind, well of body, and they haven't even reached ordinary retirement debt yet, but yet they have said, "Hey, I'm sitting on Easy Street, I'm out here on the side of the ocean or whatever, and I'm just doing what I want to do." Now, the only thing I can say about that is I hope you don't let what you want to do get out of hand. Just a few weeks ago, one Saturday morning, Betty said to me, it was a weekend that I was in town, and Betty said to me, she said, "Why don't you take a day off?" And I said to her, "What would I do if I did?" And she said, "You could do whatever you want to." And I said, "That's what I'm doing every day. Exactly what I want to do." She knew that already. We chuckled about it. But folks, and again, don't misunderstand me when I talk about retirement. All of us may have to make some adjustments along the way. But I hope as long as you've got breath, you're still going to be in the fight. Yes. You're still going to be in there pulling away and doing what you can do. Because if we calculate the cost and capitulate and cave in, I mean, a collapse is coming after that. And after the collapse, you can be sure there's going to be compromise and corruption and a lot of other stuff like that that ought not to be even in the neighborhood where we live. So what is he telling them? He's saying, if you'll just take it and allow the Lord to do what he wants to do in you, and if you'll take what you've learned, take what you have received, take what you have heard, take what you have seen in me, and just do it, what's he telling him? He said, "Hey, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it." Or it may be tough. You say, "Man, I'm pastor in Pennsylvania, that's tough. Or I'm pastor in Maryland, that's tough. Or I'm pastor in West Virginia, that's tough." We understand, believe me. We do understand. But what we want to see is just exactly what he is yelling his head off about from that prison cell. He's saying, "You've learned some things. You've heard some things. You've seen some things in me." And he said, "Listen, that's what you ought to do. Just do it and do it and do it and do it. And you'll be glad you did." Dear Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for all that we've heard here this morning that may encourage us and strengthen us and fortify us. And Lord, I pray, bless every preacher, every missionary, every evangelist, every pastor that's been in these buildings these 2 days, and for the ones that'll even come tonight. Now, Lord, I pray for them even before they get here. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'll just help all of us to receive the good word, to learn the things that you'd have us to learn, and hear the good reports that others bring, And in spite of whatever heartaches and hurts and troubles come our way, that we'll simply do what you've taught us to do. And what we've seen out of our mentors and out of those who've gone before us who stood true, help us to follow them and do right as they did. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.